The Morning Show. The Home Team. No, it's both. It's the Crossover.
Crossover! Step back!
Presented by Fully Loaded Pizza Kitchen right here on 960theref.com.
All right, back from a little 4th of July break. It is the Crossover Podcast. Chris Brain from the Home Team. David Johnston from The Morning Show, and we are presented by Fully Loaded Pizza Kitchen in Watkinsville, and now open that great location at the old Waffle House building in Five Points. And we are in
Carol and I went there last night.
Oh, yeah?
To the first time I've been to the new location in Five Points.
Easy thumbs up.
It was awesome. And guess what pizza we got? The Home Team.
The Home Team.
That's the Home Team, yes.
I like to pretend that is named for us, but I'm not sure that it is.
But let me tell you, it was delicious. It was delicious. That place is cool.
What's on the Home Team?
The Home Team is actually a white sauce pizza.
Okay.
With several meats, and we added some green pepper to it, and it was delicious. And I had an adult beverage, Carol had a glass of wine. We had a salad before that. I'm telling you, it was great. I'm sitting here acting like I'm surprised. I wasn't surprised. I hadn't been in that building since it had been remodeled into Fully Loaded. But I loved it. It was great. They got a great bar, the TVs and everything, and the pizza was awesome.
Yeah, the one I've been to in Watkinsville has the same setup. Obviously, great food, great drink, and they got TVs. So, you know, where you turn your head, you can see some action that's going on some screen.
I told Carol though, I said, we're getting the Home Team pizza. So, you know, we're going there.
Yeah.
And it was delicious.
They've got a Walter White, too.
Yes. Yes.
Which I like, so.
No, I'm telling you, we'll be heading back there very, very soon.
So, yeah, get out there if you're in the Five Points area. You got a good, convenient location now over there, plus the original in the Manders Crossing Shopping Center in Watkinsville. But, we have definitely officially arrived at the dog days of summer. As we're recording this week, we are 51 days until kickoff and just a couple days till the start of, I like to call it SEC Con, which is back at its rightful home in Hoover, Alabama this year. They'd put it in Atlanta a year ago, but back in Hoover. And the rosters that will be attending the event next week were announced, and George is bringing a solid lineup. Jake Fromm, J.R. Reed, who went last year, and Andrew Thomas. So Reed's suddenly a veteran of the event, and I look at those three guys for Georgia, and I see like two top 10 picks in the future, and maybe even another potential first-rounder in J.R. Reed. So George is bringing the heat next week.
This morning on the morning show, I went to the Walter Football 2020 mock draft.
Yeah.
And it's like literally, it's just littered with SEC players and the first round of these guys that are going to be in Hoover next week. So, I mean, you basically, if you stumbled and fell on any of these players, more than likely they're a first-round pick in next year's draft.
Yeah,
this is a stud list of players.
I think Alabama's 3-for-3 between Judy, Moses, and Tua.
They are. And Georgia is 2-for-3 with Fromm and Thomas.
So they didn't
have
Reed.
That's not included. They didn't have Reed, but DeAndre Swift is number 16. He was like the 16th pick, whoever has that. So they had the latest one had Thomas number 2, Fromm number 6, and DeAndre Swift number 16 in the 2020 draft. Guess you can probably guess who's number one. But, hey, Andrew Thomas could end up being the number one pick.
Yeah, do they still have the Dolphins picking number one?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. Would that be Tua? You don't want Tua,
No, I don't want Tua. I would prefer Andrew Thomas and then get Trevor Lawrence in 21.
Well, that was what I was thinking is I think they had the Giants maybe number two. Would it be the Giants number two? Which would make a ton of sense to get Andrew Thomas.
Yeah.
Since they just took Daniel Jones.
Yeah.
So, I mean, to me, a guy like Isaiah Wilson, if he has a big year, where would he project?
I think
into
he could,
something like that.
Yeah, ultimately project as a guy that would be hard to pass up in the first round.
Derrick Brown, the stud defensive tackle from Auburn, was in there. Looking to see who else. Grant Delpit, the defensive back from LSU. I'm just kind of running through the teams here real fast to see who else jumps out at me, but there's a lot a lot of players. And the SEC, believe it or not, there's several players that are projected first-round picks that aren't even going to be in Hoover next weekend.
Like, I mean, you mentioned Swift right off the bat would be one of them.
Alberto from Missouri is another one who's not on the list.
Yeah, I'm kind of surprised that Missouri didn't bring him.
I was too.
They are bringing Kelly Bryant. And I like, too, that the coaches have stepped up and 9 of the 14 schools are bringing quarterbacks. The most interesting of all is Ole Miss bringing their starting quarterback this is how we found out he is Ole Miss starting quarterback, Matt Corral, who is a freshman, but he's going to be at SEC Media Days. So
I hope the other quarterbacks knew this was going to be the situation before it was put out in a release yesterday.
Yeah, but there he is. I mean, I remember him. He was a big-time recruit that originally had been at Florida, but I guess when Mullen arrived, different system, so he ends up at Ole Miss instead.
And he played. He got a few snaps last year.
Did he?
Yeah. He played a little bit last year, so he's the heir apparent.
Right.
Although, wasn't he out on the field in the middle of that Mississippi State little tangle?
Oh, that's right. Yeah, he was.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So
you're right. I do remember that now.
Going to Media Days.
Yeah. So, well, maybe he could talk about that this week.
I'm sure he'll be asked about it.
This week. I also do like they're bringing Momo Sanogo, so that's a good name.
I love that name.
Between Tua and Fromm and Derek Brown and Andrew Thomas. I mean, you've got – that might be like the top five picks of the draft. I guess that's four guys. Four of the top five picks of the draft year.
By the way, that Momo Sanogo had 112 tackles last year.
Yeah.
I guess that's what happens when you play defense for Ole Miss. You're on the field a little bit more.
Boy, their defense was awful last season. But, I mean, Ole Miss made both of their – assistant coach hires. They hire Mike McIntyre to coach the defense and bring in Rich Rod to coach the offense. So it's like an all-star team of coaches now in Oxford.
Yeah. Hey, they're trying. They're trying the best they can. And I guess they're bowl eligible again, right? They weren't last year, right?
So no, I believe they are this year.
Yeah.
Now, it's Missouri that we're not sure about.
Missouri is the one. They're in the appeal process for several sports.
Yeah. Well, they probably looked at their schedule and went, we ought to try and stay bowl eligible this year. Because they got a chance to have a good year, and they got a good chance to maybe even be undefeated when they come to Athens.
How about that? And the fact they're bringing Kelly Bryant is cool.
Yeah.
Talked about that, too. So he's had his first year at Missouri, but he's a veteran. So I'm glad they're bringing him.
Yeah,
it's a story.
He's quarterbacked in a national championship game, right?
Yeah, exactly. That's why I thought it was a little weird. Now, the ACC does it differently because there's only two per team, but they didn't take Trevor Lawrence. They're not taking Trevor Lawrence to
Clemson's
ACC
not?
Media Days. And it's like, why are you not?
Yeah, see, that's lame.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think.
Like, no one wants to talk to anybody on Clemson's team but Trevor Lawrence.
I know.
And but, I think the SEC, they kind of used to go that way, too, where maybe you wouldn't necessarily have the star quarterback going or something like that. So I do like that finally the coaches are kind of giving in and doing that. Because, I mean, let's be honest. It's like, who does anyone want to talk to on Alabama? It's Tua. Who does anyone want to talk to on Georgia? It's Fromm.
Mm-hmm.
So, I'm glad those guys are going. I mean, really, quarterback is the star position now in football, and that's – it's the face of a lot of teams, and that's who everyone wants to talk about. But I think it's interesting that the SEC is really – they finally came around to it, and you got 9 quarterbacks going next week, only 3 running backs. And 2 of the running backs that are going play for 2 of the bottom teams in the league, because you got Devil Whaley going from Arkansas and then Keyshawn Vaughn from Vandy.
Yeah, and I would say Whaley and P. Ryan, they're not in the top 5 or 6 running backs in the league. I would put Vaughn in there is one of
and
the top
Swift.
4 or 5. And Swift's not going. But of the, 3 running backs that are going to be in Hoover next week, only one of them is what I would consider maybe one of the top 5 or 6 in the conference.
Yeah, Vaughn. And then you got Swift, and there's next up is what? Probably, some guy at Alabama.
Najee Harris,
yeah,
for sure. Then, you talk about the guy at Missouri, Roundtree is another one.
Yeah, Roundtree is good.
And
we had a hard time with him last year.
Yeah, yeah. But, maybe the other two guys, maybe they do end up being maybe top 4, top 5. It is the SEC's not running back heavy, I guess, maybe like it is some years with the names. But is that football in general? Is that what football in general is becoming?
Yeah,
not
I think
running back heavy.
I think it has, and some of these SEC schools have finally finally adapted to that. I mean, I mean specifically, you've got Alabama, where Nick Saban, not that it's hurt him, because he's been, he's built a dynasty over there, but Tua is the first blue chip quarterback he's had. And if he does end up going number one, you think Alabama hasn't had like a quality NFL quarterback since Richard Todd.
Isn't that weird?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And we're talking early 80s there with the Jets.
And they've had some good quarterbacks. It's not like they haven't had good quarterbacks there. But, yeah, like you said, the going all the way back to Richard Todd. You know, there's people listening to this right now who have no idea who we're talking about. We may as well be speaking French.
No. I was doing the home team the other day with Tyler, and he was wondering that, too, about Alabama and having a premier NFL quarterback. And I went, the last one they had that was good was Richard Todd. And he just looked at me like,
who?
Todd Richard?
Yeah,
no,
Todd,
Richard Todd.
Richard Todd.
Todd is cool.
Todd's cool. Yeah, I think that is kind of weird, especially when you think about Bart Starr and Joe Namath and Ken Stabler. And then since then, I know, you know, they went forever without a Heisman Trophy winner, and now they've had, what, two, I guess, with
Ingram and Henry.
And Henry, but not on the quarterback side of things. Tua last year was, I mean, Tua wins that thing if he doesn't get beat up there, don't you think?
I think he had it ripped away from him by Georgia.
Yeah, I do too.
Yeah.
I do too. Yeah. So they were that close.
Between Tua and Lawrence this year, who definitely enter as the two favorites for that, you wonder, like, Clemson has to at least take a little step back defensively this year, which could lead Lawrence to have to play more fourth quarters and, end up putting up better stats. I mean, it wasn't hurting Tua anyway, because I think Tua did go into the final weeks of the season as the heavy favorite to win the Heisman before he ended up obviously not, and Kyler Murray stole it away from him at the very end. But I mean, Tua was only playing like through three quarters of every single game last fall.
You know, it'd be the ultimate irony is if Hurts wins the Heisman Trophy at Oklahoma.
Yeah. Well,
like, wait, that's an Alabama quarter? Nope. He won it for Oklahoma.
And then he ends up the number one pick in the draft. And then, you know, Lincoln Riley is there like, yep. 3 years in a row. I've looked at those Heisman odds, and I see Fromm from anywhere from like 18 to like 20 to 1 in that range. And I just think that's like, he's got worse odds than Justin Fields does. And I just think that's crazy.
But how much of that do you think is because more is going to be put on Justin Fields than Fromm? But then again, I mean, that does sound like a dumb question, because there's a ton put on Fromm.
Well, and yeah.
It's not just handing the ball off to DeAndre Swift or Brian Herrien or whoever. I mean, there's a lot going on.
Yeah, I mean, he's going to be he's the star of Georgia's offense. He's the star of a team that's going to be really good, that's going to be in the hunt for the SEC championship and the playoff. And you know, I think after that LSU game last year, there wasn't a quarterback in the country that played better than Fromm did. Not Tua, not Murray, none of them. Not even Trevor Lawrence. And so, I don't know. Fromm might be worth a flight to Clark County, Nevada
out there next month, so if you want, just let me know.
Okay.
I'll be glad to take care of you.
Get a little piece of him for the Heisman.
Yes.
Because that is a quarterback award now.
It is.
If you're not an Alabama running back, it goes to quarterbacks. And then there was that one year in 05 where apparently no one won it.
That's what they tell us.
Yeah. Although I think that was a running back that year too. But other than that, it's been like pretty much it's quarterbacks. Other than Ingram, Henry, and Reggie Bush.
That's it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Since the
That's why I get it. It's the premier individual award in college football, but it's a quarterback award now.
Yeah.
And that's not all in the quarterback. I go stats, and I understand an offensive lineman or a defensive lineman, you can't always put what they do, what am I trying to say, quantitatively or whatever. But
right.
Most of the time, the guy who wins the Heisman, I say most of the time, some of the times, he's not even the best player on his team. If you just wanted to go by position, you know?
Yeah.
So it's a quarterback award is what it is.
That's what it's turned into. Yeah. I like and it's a quarterback from the East Coast. That's another thing you got to throw in there. The West Coast guys have a hard time with it now. Quarterback, East Coast, played a lot of marquee games, and you're on a really good team. Fromm, to me, checks all those boxes.
Yeah. By the way, so how do you decide if Tua was better than Quinnen Williams? You know, I mean,
yeah.
How do you define that?
I mean, in baseball, they would have WAR. I don't know. Does yeah. football have WAR?
We need Maybe they'll come up with it at some point.
We need
point.
Wins above replacement.
We do need that.
Yeah.
We do need that.
Quinnen Williams was the second or third pick of the draft.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah, how do you define that?
It's hard
I mean,
to.
You could try to make an argument that Quinnen Williams was a better, you know, that he was better than Tua, but how do you do it? You know, that's the thing.
Yeah.
They were both – I'm not trying to downplay what Tua did. I'm just saying the importance of what Quinnen Williams did for their defense is kind of hard to measure.
Or than any of Tua's O linemen.
Exactly.
Like even I mean, let's for us this year, how do we quantify that Jake Fromm is better or more valuable than Andrew Thomas?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Now the coaches might keep those like pancake block stats or something like that.
Yeah, there's a lot of stats that are kept that we don't know about.
Yeah.
But
we need football, those stats.
Football's a tough sport, position by position.
Yeah, it's
to
just
say
so
one
different.
Person, yeah,
yeah,
is better than another.
All right, the Crossover Podcast presented by Fully Loaded Pizza Kitchen in Watkinsville and now in Five Points in Athens.
White sauce, Italian sausage, pepperoni, and ground beef.
That's
and
the
then we
team.
Added some green peppers on there last night. The home team
yeah.
is delicious.
I'm so boring with pizza. I just like cheese. I'm like a kid.
Yeah, I yeah. like that too. You don't throw any veggies on there?
Sometimes, yeah. But yeah. I am just like, I'm a child. I just need a cheese pizza, and I'm happy.
Hey, whatever works for you.
Yeah. All right, we'll take a break, and then we'll come back. We'll touch on the Braves as they get set to embark on what is not really the second half of the season, but what we've all come to consider the second half of the season, and the Georgia basketball non-conference hoops schedule has been finalized, so we'll get to that as well. As always, you could download, subscribe to us on iTunes, or listen anytime on demand. The Crossover Podcast at 960theref.com.
True Italian food has returned to Five Points and brought some friends along because Fully Loaded Pizza Kitchen is now open in Five Points, Athens. At the new Fully Loaded Pizza Kitchen, you'll find all your Italian favorites from pizza to calzones and baked ziti, along with sandwiches, salads, wings, and more, plus a full bar for beer, wine, and cocktails. It's time to eat at the now open Fully Loaded Pizza Kitchen at Five Points in Athens and also in the Manders Crossing Shopping Center off Mars Hill Road in Watkinsville.
All right, episode 94, the Crossover Podcast, presented by Fully Loaded Pizza Kitchen in Watkinsville and now in Five Points in Athens. The Braves about to take on the Padres this weekend, post All-Star break, and start a six-game road trip that'll also take them to Milwaukee. And then when they come home, they play the Nationals, who don't look now are suddenly in second place in the division. So the Braves have got an interesting little stretch of games here to start the second part of the season with a six-game lead in the East right now.
The Nationals are 15-4 in the last 3 weeks.
Yeah, you know, over the last 30 games, the Braves and Nationals have the same record, 21-9. So that's good because the Braves have been able to maintain whatever edge they had. But at one point, yeah, Washington was 10 under .500.
They were sinking fast. Now it's the Phillies that just don't seem like they've got anything going right now.
Yeah, I think the Nationals are the team to really keep an eye on. And they scare me more than the Phillies do anyway. So when the Phillies were in second place and the Braves had this lead, I was like, oh, the Braves are – they're a lock to win the division. I still think the Braves are in a comfortable position here, but I'm less assured by that. I think the Nationals are actually more of a legitimate threat, and we might find out a lot about that. That's a four-game series, which starts basically next week.
Yeah, they got the tricky little road trip here with the Padres and the Brewers and then the four-game series at home against the Nationals. They still got 14 games to play against the Nationals over the last, 70 games. So they got a lot. Let's see, how many games have the Braves played? 54-37. What does that come out to? Oh, I was told there would be no math. 91.
91.
All right. So basically about 70 games left in the season. And 14 of those are against the Nationals. You can do the math there, 14 out of 70. So that's basically 15, 16%, something like that. They have a lot of games to play against them.
Well, and unfortunately, the Braves have already played 12 of their games against the Marlins.
Yes.
And they've gone 10-2.
Yeah, luckily, yeah, 10-2.
So it's, what are they, 17 games over .500, and almost half of that is just basically the Marlins.
Half the Marlins. But that's how the Braves won the division last year, is they crush the East.
Yeah.
They had a losing record against the Central, West, and American League, but they crushed the East.
Yeah. This year it is different. They've actually dominated the Central.
Yeah.
The West they've had problems with, but they've dominated the Central, and they've dominated the Marlins. They really haven't dominated their division.
They started out 0-3.
Yeah. And now I guess they're right around 500 against the Phillies. I think they're a little below 500 against, because that two-game series, the Nationals swept them in Atlanta, and I guess they won 2 of 3, because they've only played like 5 games, right?
Yeah. It hadn't been many. I mean, they got it stacked where they're playing just so many games against the division over the last 2.5 months or whatever. It starts next week with the Nationals.
And I think they're a couple over 500 against the Mets right now. The Mets have beaten them some, but...
Now, are the Mets a mess?
Oh, God. Yeah.
Oh, my God.
But I do love that they show up at, like, the All-Star game, and they win the home run derby.
Yeah.
And even made some big plays for the NL in that All-Star game. But it's like, that's where the Mets shine when it doesn't matter.
If this makes you feel any better, Georgia fans, I did go back and do a little quick check on Pete Alonso. So he played for the Gators in 14, 15, and 16. They came to Athens in 15. And I think they might have won 2 out of 3, but he went 0-for-9.
Oh, okay.
So Pete Alonso did not get a hit that weekend.
Excellent.
Yes.
So he's been – well, he's been dogged sort of, even if his team won.
Yeah.
So how many Mets have been dogged? DeGrom, Alonso?
In fact, I mean, Alonso was 5-for-25 against the Dogs in his career.
Okay.
So not great numbers. It was his junior year he had a pretty big weekend. But even his freshman year, he was a platoon guy. Like, one of the games he didn't even play in.
So he only made one trip to Athens?
Yeah, 14 and 16 were in Gainesville. So he came to Athens in 15.
And went hitless. There you go. Take that, Pete Alonso.
Although, I will have to say, did you watch the All-Star game?
I didn't see the All-Star game. Okay. I did end up watching some of the home run derby, and I couldn't
figure out. You know, they had the players mic'd up a lot in the All-Star game, and I thought it was really, really good. And I know the ratings were not great for the All-Star game, but there was a play where Alonso it was the inning he was mic'd up in the field, and there was a play at first where he had to stretch, and he made a really good play. And it was one that they had to review. And when he first came off the bag, he's, oh, I don't think I kept my foot on the bag. You know, he's talking to them. And then he's looking up at the board. He's, oh, I did. He goes, oh, hell yeah. I kept my foot on the bag. It was really cool.
So they ought to do that in, like, real games.
I know.
Mic up players.
I know. You know, they didn't have all these interviews in the booth and all that stuff. The interviews were Joe Buck interview. And Smoltz, he didn't really do a whole lot of it. But it was Buck talking to the players while they were in the field. I thought it was really good stuff.
Yeah. No, that would be interesting if they would do that. You know, they could put a 3-second delay if the player had to throw an expletive out there or something.
Yeah. I mean, there was at one point they had a mic on Cody Bellinger and Christian Yelich at the same time while they were in the field. They had 3 of the Astros together while they were in the field. I thought it was good stuff.
Yeah. I know, like, Tyler mentioned that to me, too, that I think Joe Buck asked Charlie Blackman if he thought the Rockies were good enough to make the playoffs. Like, gee, I wonder how he's going to answer that question.
Yeah. Well, one of the – I was like – they were asking about his beard. Charlie Blackman finally, you know, he admitted. Because that was a good interview, too, because Blackman Joe asked him about his wife, and he goes, my wife's only known me since I've had this beard.
Okay.
She's never seen me in person without it.
Right.
So I thought that was kind of funny.
So if she agreed to marry him with that beard, she's not in a position to demand he shave it then.
Exactly. It wasn't something that happened after they got married.
Right.
But I thought that was the kind of stuff that was kind of cool. And he's, like, standing out in center field or wherever he was having this conversation.
Yeah.
I like that.
Like, all right, in a real game, you couldn't have the announcer, like, bothering the guy with an interview. But maybe they could at least be mic'd and you could hear kind of, like,
and play it back.
The interaction and stuff.
They had a good back and forth with Francisco Lindor. And he was at shortstop. And they were asking him questions about, you know, are you looking at the catch? Things I thought were kind of, you know, that you would assume, yes. But maybe, you know, the average fan may not know, but they were like, are you watching the catcher, what pitch is coming? So you'll, he's like, well, yeah, of course. And then Lindor started telling him, okay, now we're going fastball away. You know, he was calling
positioning
the pitches
the
for them. Yeah, and he was telling what was coming just so you could kind of get a feel of it. It's actually pretty cool.
Yeah.
I like that.
No, that might be something to baseball to think about.
They do, because they just have baseball struggles with marketing its players.
Yeah.
I don't know if it's baseball or if it's the players or what.
Well, listen, some of it, too, is like the fun, young, exciting ones. They don't really speak English. I mean, Acuna would be one. You watch Vlad Guerrero in the home run derby the other night.
Yep.
And
good
they don't
grief.
Yeah.
Holy cow.
He has 8 home runs. Like, before the home run derby, like, well, why is he in the home run derby? And then he almost hits 100.
Oh, my God. So he's hit 99 home runs this year, right? 91 in the derby and 8 in the regular season.
Yeah.
His next homer will be his 100th.
Of the year, yeah.
Yeah, take that, Barry Bonds.
Yeah. Well, the balls are juiced now, apparently.
Yeah, apparently they are.
All right, as we wind down today's edition of the Crossover Podcast, the Georgia basketball schedule, at least the non-conference portion, finalized earlier this week. And we now know the premiere date of Ant-Man at Stegman Coliseum will be November the 5th, a Tuesday night, against Western Carolina. So Georgia had been getting into the men's and women's doubleheaders the night before a football game, but this is just Tuesday night. I'm sure there's a game that week. I guess that's the Missouri game, right?
The week of Missouri.
Yeah.
You're correct. And we're playing Tech on a Wednesday night the week before, or the week of Texas A&M.
Yeah. And we play Delaware State the week before we go to Auburn.
Yes. So maybe when the women's schedule is announced, maybe there will be a doubleheader or something, you know.
At some point.
But as of now, yeah. A couple of thoughts on our schedule. See if I'm not being critical of Georgia here. The home schedule's somewhat underwhelming. You have the game against Tech, and I'm just talking non-conference. You have the game against Tech. There's the game against SMU. And I think, wouldn't you say, it's like, okay, we've got this young team, we're in transition, let's build into the season. I do like the way you have the first 3 or 4 games, and then there. I mean, that Maui tournament could be a beast, because there's some really good teams out there. And then you come back, and then you start kind of ramping it up a little bit. I didn't realize that the Memphis game is part of the SEC leftovers versus the American. That's where that came from. So the big the SEC Big 12 challenge has 10 teams.
So the ones not in that are doing the American.
So South Carolina, Georgia, Ole Miss, and Vandy are all playing an American Athletic Conference team.
Okay.
So that's why Georgia's got Memphis on the schedule. But as you pointed out on the home team the other day, that could be the top 2 picks in the draft, right?
Yeah. I mean, I don't know what the rest of the college basketball schedule is going to look like on January 4th. I don't even know what day of the week that is.
That would be a Saturday.
Okay. I mean, that's got to be that'll be the premier, like, marquee game in college basketball that afternoon, because it's James Weissman and Ant-Man.
Yeah.
So I think the one thing, and I agree with it, the home schedule is kind of like, other than Tech, pretty lousy. But what Georgia's done this year, it's put itself in really like these – it's going to get a lot of national television exposure, because that Maui Invitational has a loaded field, and Georgia's going to have Edwards. So they're going to get a lot of attention playing out there. And I'm tired. That game at Memphis is going to be, I think, a big national deal, just because you've got those top 2 prospects squaring off. And, like, you know, it's Georgia playing Memphis. It's not like, oh, North Carolina and Duke, and come watch the top 2 picks of next year's draft. No, it's with Georgia and Memphis, and here are the top 2 picks of next year's draft.
Yeah, no, that's awesome. And I'm assuming that's not by accident. I mean, if the SEC and the American got together and said, all right, how do we want to do this?
Yeah,
let's do it this way.
Yeah.
And I think that's actually very cool. And don't forget, too, for Georgia's 8 home games, I'm sorry, 9 home games in the conference, not 8, 9 home games in the conference, Auburn's coming to Athens. Florida's coming to Athens. Kentucky's coming to Athens. South Carolina's coming to Athens. Tennessee's coming to Athens. So this is a good year on the home portion of the schedule, where all the big rival teams are coming to Athens. So I like that also. So I like the way the schedule is put together here, where it feels like they're kind of trying to ramp up and let the team get the experience as it heads into conference play.
Yeah, and then you'll have some big home games in conference play with all those big names coming to Stegman.
Again, Kentucky, Auburn, Florida, Tennessee.
Yeah.
I know maybe a couple of those teams may not be what they were last year, but it's still the rival games, too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That trip to Arizona State comes after that exam break, which has not been a...
That's a revenge game for the Dogs.
Yeah, but going on the road after that hasn't been good.
Do you remember last year Arizona State came here and then they just stayed and played like at Vandy like 3 days later?
Yeah, that was like one of the last games Vandy won.
Yeah, Vandy beat them. Yeah. Yeah.
Because they were 0-19 in the SEC.
Chris, Vandy baseball won more national championships this year than Vandy basketball won SEC games.
Yes, they did.
Ouch.
Yeah, that's why Vandy basketball has a new coach,
yes, which is an interesting hire, but yeah, we'll see how they do with
between that and then like Penny Hardaway at Memphis and then Michigan hired Juwan Howard.
Exactly.
I mean, I remember like that when Georgia would have a vacancy, hey, let's hire Dominique, and thinking that's a crazy idea. Now like schools are doing that.
Yeah. Yeah, I know. I'm glad though. I love Neek.
Yeah,
I'm glad he's not been the head.
He was too good a player.
He was too good a player, and you just hate to get put in a position where, I'm not saying he would have failed, but if you'd had to make a coaching change, you're having to basically fire your all-time greatest player. That's not good.
He serves a greater purpose being on Hawks broadcasts.
He is, absolutely. Yeah.
All right, Dave, that's a wrap. Episode 94 of the Crossover Podcast presented by Fully Loaded Pizza Kitchen in Watkinsville and in Athens.
We'll eat the home team.
Yeah, the home team. They got the Walter White, or if you just want a plain old cheese pizza, they do that
very
well, too.
They'll do that for you as well. And they'll bring you cold beers.
Cold beer to wash it all down. We'll come back next week, and we'll be able to break down media days.
Yes.
Dan Mullen will open his big mouth on Monday. Georgia's scheduled to go on Tuesday. So we'll have a whole SEC Con recap for you ready to go next week. Again, as always, subscribe to us on iTunes. Download us there anytime or listen on demand whenever you want on our website, 960theref.com. For Dave, I'm Chris. This has been the Crossover Podcast on 960theref.com.
You've been listening to The Crossover, presented by Fully Loaded Pizza Kitchen on 960theref.com.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.